I would ask you now to turn in God's Word to the verses in Hebrews chapter 7. It was page 1066 in our Pew Bible. My theme that I've chosen for the communion season at this time is that of Jesus, our priest. And I want to speak on some verses that we find in the book of Hebrews. I was preaching on Hebrews until I did some sermons on deacons, and I intend to go back to preaching on Hebrews. I'm just going to pick out a few verses from Hebrews to use in focusing our thoughts on Christ in our communion season. In the pre-communion service just now, I hope to speak from Hebrews 7 on Jesus, our continuing priest. And then next Lord's Day at the communion service, some verses in Hebrews 9 on Jesus, our self-sacrificing priest. And then at the Thanksgiving service, some words in Hebrews 10 about Jesus, our perfecting priest. So Jesus, our priest, is the overall theme. And at this point, I want you to think of the words we have in Hebrews 7, from verse 23 to 25, thinking about Jesus, our continuing priest. Our times of communion should always be times where we deliberately reflect upon how blessed we are, and when we remember that all of those blessings come to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of all our greatest blessings. And there are three things that I want to emphasize today from these three verses about Jesus, our continuing priest. I want to talk about the fact that He continues. Secondly, that he saves. And thirdly, that he intercedes. So first of all, thinking about the fact that he continues. Jesus is our priest, and in that role, he continues. He just keeps on going. Many of those who live within the United Kingdom have only ever known there to be one king or queen. Queen Elizabeth II is the only queen or king that I have ever known. In my lifetime, there has been no king, and there has only been one queen. I remember when I was a very young boy, there were a few magazines around the house, and they had pictures of the royal family. I used to like looking at those pictures of the royal family at probably at Balmoral, and the corgis were there. And I used to think that the Queen was the most beautiful woman in the United Kingdom, and that's why she was the Queen. Those were the kind of pictures that I saw in my younger days. She's the only Queen that I have ever known, and it will seem strange to me, and strange to many, when the Queen's reign comes to an end and when someone else takes over. Now, in Israel, in Bible times, there was a royal line of kings. And those kings were descended from King David. And from David, it was his son Solomon. And then his son, and then his son, and his son, and so on it went. And there were many different kings. But in the Old Testament, there was also a line of priests, a line of high priests in particular. And that line of high priests went back much earlier in the history of God's people to the days of Aaron. Aaron was the very first high priest. And during most of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Aaron was the high priest over God's people. And then before they entered the promised land, Aaron died, and his son Eleazar became the new high priest. And that same thing happened again and again and again. None of those high priests of the order of Aaron had a lasting priesthood. Always their priesthood came to an end. And so it says in Hebrews 7:23, also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. Always it was the case that the high priest died. He may have been there for a long time or a short time, but all of them died, and that was the end of their high priesthood. A replacement had to be found. A successor was needed. That was the way it was. But the writer to the Hebrews is saying, not so with the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest. It's a very different situation that we have when we think of Jesus as our high priest. Verse 24, he says, but Jesus, because he continues forever, he has an unchangeable or a permanent priesthood. Those other priests, those other high priests, they kept on dying, and that was the end of them. But Jesus is different. But he's not different in that he doesn't die. It's not that Jesus was spared from death, whereas those other high priests, they died. If there was one person who was not spared from death, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He died a death that no one has ever died. He was not in any sense spared from death. But Jesus was different because his death didn't mean the end of his priesthood. For all the others, high priests that died, that was the end of it. But not for Jesus. It wasn't the case that someone else was appointed to succeed him. No, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And the Lord Jesus is alive forever. He is the high priest who continues forever. His priesthood is a continuing priesthood. It is a permanent priesthood. And just as the Lord Jesus himself is unchangeable, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So his priesthood is unchangeable. As we think of the future of our nation, we might have concerns about what kind of person we will have to take over from our present queen. But we don't have any concerns whatsoever about our future high priest. The Lord Jesus Christ is our future high priest. He is our continuing high priest. And he will never change. The Lord Jesus Christ will never grow old. He will never die. He will never retire. He will never grow weary in his work. He'll never have enough of it. He will always be the same. Always that same merciful, sympathetic, understanding, and strong high priest that he has always been. The Lord Jesus Christ will always remain totally committed to serving his people. And today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your high priest, he will continue forever to be unto you all that you need. The Lord Jesus Christ is our continuing high priest. He keeps on going. He continues. Other high priests, they couldn't continue. But Jesus continues. And that is a cause for rejoicing. The second cause for rejoicing as we think of our continuing priest is that he saves. Think of what we're told at the start of verse 25. Therefore, because he continues, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost Those who come to God through him. In ordinary life, you will sometimes come across a person who has been in their job for a long time. They've seen a lot come and go during their years in that job. They've got lots of experience in the thing that they do. There's not much that they haven't seen over the years. But they're still no good at the job. Sometimes you get that. Maybe some of the children think, I have a few teachers like that at my school. Doing something for a long time is only a blessing if it's done well. And here we are reminded of the excellence of the Lord Jesus Christ in his role, in his work as a high priest unto his people. We're told something very important here about the people who experience the saving work of the Lord Jesus. The people that Christ saves, we're told, are always those who come to God through him. And those words remind us of God's appointed and only way of salvation. God has only provided one way by which anyone can be saved. We have to come to God, but we can only come to God through Christ. Jesus says it himself, John 14, verse 6. He says there, no one comes to the Father except through me. And to be saved, we need more than just a vague hope that God might forgive us. We need to have a very definite hope. We need to have that hope that Jesus Christ has fully dealt with our sins, that we have received his perfect righteousness, and that therefore we're in a fit state to be brought into the presence of a holy God. The only people who are ever saved are those who come to God through Jesus Christ. And it says here, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. That's the only way that works. And it does work because Jesus ensures that it works. And we're told that when Jesus Christ saves someone, he saves to the uttermost. And those are great words to think about. You cannot be any more saved than to be saved to the uttermost. And if Jesus Christ has saved you, you'll never be any less saved than saved to the uttermost. When it says here that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost, it means on the one hand that he saves forever and ever and ever. The salvation we receive from Christ is a free gift, and it is a free gift that will never run out. It will never run dry. It will never run done. When a sinner truly comes to believe in Christ as Savior, when a sinner truly repents of their sin, the life they receive is eternal life. It is life that goes on and on and on. Just as Jesus Christ himself goes on and on and on, he continues, so the life that he gives is a life that continues. His salvation is a salvation that continues. He saves to the uttermost. There never will be a time when his salvation runs out. But when it says that he saves to the uttermost, it doesn't just mean that he saves forever, but it also refers to the completeness to the fullness of his saving work. There is an absolute thoroughness to the saving work of Christ. No one is ever half saved by Jesus Christ. No one is ever even 99% saved. If anyone's saved, they're saved to the uttermost. They're saved completely, thoroughly. So Christ saves to the uttermost. It's forever, and it is complete and full and total. And what a great thing that is for us to know. As believers, when we come to the Lord's Supper, we are told to examine ourselves. God tells us to examine ourselves. And what happens when we examine ourselves? Well, when we examine ourselves, we see our sin. We see much within ourselves that is unworthy of the name of Christ. Perhaps we detect our own lack of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we see our lack of zeal for the Lord our Savior. We see much within us when we examine ourselves, much that speaks of weak faith, not of strong faith. And it's not in examining ourselves that we will ever find confidence to come to the Lord's table. Rather, we find confidence to come to the Lord's table in looking to Christ. And what do we find when we look upon ourselves as those who are in Jesus Christ? Well, we find that we have been saved to the uttermost. That every bit of saving that Jesus Christ needed to do for us, he has done it. And we're not just about saved. We're not questionably saved. If we're saved, we are saved to the uttermost. And let us therefore be thankful. Not just that we have a high priest who will always be there for his people. One who will continue forever. But let us also be thankful that he is the very best high priest that we could ever possibly have. All those for whom Jesus Christ acts as a high priest are saved to the uttermost. I wonder, do you know today that you are someone who is saved to the uttermost? That is the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Have you come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in Jesus as your Savior? If you are, then he is the one who saves his people to the uttermost. Jesus Christ is a great high priest. He is the one who continues. He is the one who saves. And then in the third place, I want to reflect on the fact that we're taught that he intercedes. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost because the sacrifice he has made was completely acceptable to God. It was completely sufficient. Christ's sacrifice of himself was done once and for all, never to be repeated. Nothing needs to be added to it. It doesn't need to be freshened up in any way. He did it once, and that was it. Nothing more was needed. God was well pleased to accept the sacrifice of Christ, our high priest. But that does not mean that there is no work anymore for our Lord Jesus to do as our high priest. His sacrificial work has been done. It is finished. It has been completed, and as such, he sits down, because that's done. But the Lord is a high priest who continues to function as a high priest for his people. And we're told in verse 25 that he always lives to make intercession for them. And so the Lord Jesus is a busy high priest. He's not someone who doesn't have much to do these days because he's done it all already. The Lord is a busy high priest. And he is busy praying for his saved people. And we are to be encouraged by that reality, that the Lord Jesus Christ always lives to make intercession for his saved people. Those he has saved to the uttermost, he intercedes for them, he prays for them. I'm sure many of you will, at some stage in your life at least, have been encouraged by the knowledge that other people were praying for you. I've often been encouraged to know that other people are praying for me. And it is a blessing to know that other people are praying for you. Well, we are here urged to draw encouragement from the fact that every day the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for his people. Jesus is a high priest who always lives to make intercession for those who have come to God through him. What a wonderful thing to think of the Lord our Savior praying for his people and doing so day after day after day. What a great dishonor it is to the Lord Jesus Christ when instead of looking to him, people look to angels, people look to dead saints to intercede for them rather than looking to the one mediator that God has appointed between God and man. The Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for his people. And when the Lord Jesus intercedes for us, when he prays looking to his Father in heaven. And he seeks his Father's good gifts. He knows that his Father has given to him as a gift those that he has saved. And he knows that his Father is one who delights in giving good gifts to his adopted children. The Lord Jesus prays to a generous Father, and he intercedes for us with confidence. He's not trying to wring blessings and benefits out of a reluctant God. He prays to a generous God. And when the Lord Jesus intercedes for us, he does so as one who is wise. Jesus is fully wise in his prayers for his people. We're not always wise in our prayers. We're not always wise in what we ask for. We're not always wise in what we ask for ourselves, and we're not always wise in what we ask for others. We're inclined, are we not, to ask God for things to go smoothly in life. And yet we know that a lot of the important things we've ever really learnt in life were learnt when things didn't go smoothly. But we pray that things will go well, that things will be smooth. But the Lord Jesus is wise. His life didn't go smoothly. And the Lord knows our needs, and he knows us individually. He knows how we are made. He knows what is needed in our lives. He knows what we can cope with. And what you can cope with might be different from what someone else can cope with. He knows what will be good for us. He knows how for one person a situation will bring them forward in their faith, but for someone else the same situation would lead them into temptation. The Lord is wise. He knows and he understands. And when he asks for the right thing. Sometimes we don't even know what to ask for. Maybe sometimes in life we're not sure if this is a situation where God wants us to persevere, to keep going, or if it's a situation where God wants us to accept that things aren't going to be the way we would want them to be. Well, Jesus knows. He knows what to pray for. And even if everyone else is asking the wrong thing for us, Jesus won't be asking for the wrong thing. He is wise in his interceding prayers. Now, of course, we don't know what Christ's prayers for us are. We don't know today what the Lord Jesus is praying to his Father that he will do in our lives even this day. We don't know what he's praying, but we can know that his prayers are there, that they're very real, and we can take great comfort from knowing that the all-wise, all-loving Savior is praying for us, and he will be praying for that which will be the best for us. When our Lord was in this earth, and when he was among his disciples, and when he was training those men, a vital part of his work was praying for those men. And we read a little bit about the Lord's prayer for his followers in John chapter 17. Those prayers of Jesus must have been a great source of strengthening for his disciples. And those prayers of Christ were all important in the lives of those men. Think in particular of the Apostle Peter. And recall these words of Jesus in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail." Peter was in great danger. The devil had targeted him. He wanted to destroy Peter as the man who was the natural leader of the disciples. He wanted to sift him as wheat. He wanted to ruin him, make him a disgrace, that the name of Christ would be blasphemed because of what was there in Peter. But Jesus says, "I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail." How important the prayers of Christ for Peter were. And what the Lord Jesus prayed for Peter when Jesus was here on this earth, he continues to pray for his saved people this day. Now, we are all people who are capable of going far astray, but Jesus Christ is praying for his saved people that our faith should not fail. And we should take heart from that. We may have hard things to face in life. We may have things that we would never choose for ourselves. But if they come our way, it's because the Lord has prayed that those things would come our way. And he will keep on praying. And he will be praying that our faith will not fail in these things, but that we will be strengthened by the hard things that we experience in life. And if it should be the case that we have a faith that has been tested but hasn't failed, it's because we have a high priest who's been praying for us. It's because we have a high priest who was tested and who didn't fail. And if we have a faith that is a continuing faith, it's not just a faith that was back there in the old days, but it's alive. It's a continuing faith, a living faith. If we have that, it's because we have a high priest who continues. He continues to work for us. He continues saving us to the uttermost and always living to intercede for us. If today you have a continuing faith, the reason you continue with him is because he continues with you. Let us remember our priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our continuing priest. And he will keep on. And because he will keep on, you'll be able to keep on too. Day will never dawn when Christ will not be saving you to the uttermost. The day will never dawn when Christ will not be praying for you. Those he saves to the uttermost. And those he saves to the uttermost, he continues to make intercession for. And he will continue, and he will continue, and he will continue, and he will continue forever. And therefore, we can take heart, and we can rejoice. We are provided for. We are well provided for with Christ our priest. Amen.